All here this morning. Good to have all our visitors with us. I want to mention that Steve and Jamie Covington are with us this morning, and Jamie, I know her better as Jamie Jill, but her family used to go here back in the 80s, for those that remember. I believe her mom, and I may be wrong, I could be misremembering, but I think she taught the first computer course I ever took over at the junior high, and that's the first year that what's now the junior high was the junior high. For those that have been around long enough, that used to be the high school over by the football stadium, and then it switched to the junior high, and the high school got moved over this way, but... that was a few years ago, but anyway, we're happy to have Jamie and Steve with us this morning, and they actually moved. They're living over in Gatesville now, so they're not too far away. Kind of thinking this week about Thanksgiving, of course, is coming up on Thursday, Just so you know, I didn't write this. I just went to Wikipedia just to get some summary about the origins of Thanksgiving in our country. The event that we normally call the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the Pilgrims after their first harvest and what we now call what's called the New World, the world, you know, that we live in over here in North America. In October of 1621... the feast lasted for 3 days, and as accounted by one of the first attendees, Edward Winslow, it was attended by 90 American Indians and 53 pilgrims. This was nothing new for the pilgrims, for the colonists. They were accustomed to regularly celebrating Thanksgivings, you know, having these days of prayer, thanking God for blessings such as military victory, or the end of a drought, but it was common for them, and they were thankful, you know, for that first harvest and you know, for their survival and things like that. Thanksgiving has been celebrated nationally on and off. I read since 1789, there was a proclamation by George Washington after the request by Congress. Thomas Jefferson, another one of our founders, chose not to observe the holiday. And its celebration kind of lasted intermittently until about the time of the Civil War, until during the presidency of Abraham Lincoln. In the midst, this was 1863, in the middle of the Civil War, when it became a federal holiday. So you think about what's going on at that time. We're in the midst of a Civil War, and he makes Thanksgiving a federal holiday to stop and to thank God for his blessings. He proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, to be celebrated on, at that time, the last Thursday in November. And then it was during FDR's presidency that it got moved to the fourth Thursday of November. And when I say moved, just because sometimes November has five Thursdays, so it was made where it's just the fourth Thursday in November since FDR. But the origins was in these harvest festivals, goes back to the pilgrims, to, you know, and we still, you know, we still give thanks before meals. Sometimes I think it's almost become a habit. But you think back to agricultural societies for our ancestors, you know, the harvest was a big deal. If you didn't have a good harvest, you had a hard time finding food to eat until the next harvest. And so things could be hard. So having food to eat is, you know, was something that they were grateful for, and something that I think sometimes we take for granted today. The idea behind this service really comes from Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." But before I jump to that verse, I want to go back and read the preceding verses, the three verses or four verses right before it, starting in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will again say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." And so he's talking there, he says rejoice, and then he starts talking about anxieties, and then, you know, how we're supposed to deal with possible anxieties. Don't be anxious, but take those requests to God. And then he says, with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. So in the middle of these anxieties and taking these requests and these problems to God, we're supposed to give thanks and present a request to God. And so I was thinking about those preceding verses leading up to that famous verse in Philippians 4, verse 8. And I was thinking about, what do rejoicing and anxieties and thanksgiving all have in common? That kind of seems like a strange thing, because rejoicing is a good thing. We think of anxiety as a bad thing, and then thanksgiving again a good thing. But I think what they all have in common is they're all a very real part of the human experience. We all have things we can rejoice about. We all have things that we could be anxious about. And we all have things to be thankful for. You know, there may be different, you know, extremes and different times in our life where we experience the extreme of one or the other. There's times in our lives when all seems to be going well and we seem to have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to rejoice about, and that sort of thing. But even in those times, there's some things that we could worry about or be anxious about. And then during the really challenging times, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, a severe illness, that sort of thing, even in the most difficult times, there are things that we could rejoice about and things that we can be thankful for. And I apologize, but when I start thinking about things like this, I think back, you know, of course, to my own experiences. And I remember, and it's kind of hard to believe, but it's over 7 years ago now when my mom was dying of cancer. But even when she was dying of cancer, it wasn't all gloom and doom. And don't get me wrong, there were some tears. There were quite a few tears. But during that last month that we had the opportunity to spend some time together, and of course she was in a lot of pain and she slept a lot and you know, in a, you know, in a bad situation. But there was a fair amount of joy as she would talk about some of her favorite foods, or she would talk about childhood memories. Even in those times, there were really some positive experiences and there were some things to be thankful for. And there's times she smiled and she remembered the past and was, you know, we laughed and things like that. As many of you know, I did go through a divorce, and it's not something I've been secretive about, and it's not something that I'm proud of, but it is part of my life. I was 22 years old, and it was a very difficult time. But even if I look back to that time, Tom and Elaine took me into their home for a while, and then I also had some friends in Austin that let me come and live and stay with them for a while. And, you know, there was a lot of hurt and pain and bitterness and anger and all those experiences. But I can also look back to those days, and I can remember going to get something to eat or doing things with my friends in Austin, or some of the times I spent with Tom and Elaine. And though it was very a hard time, I can actually look back at those months, and I actually have some good memories from what was a very difficult time in my life. And then, as you know now, and well, you might not know all of this, but anyway, I waited a few years before I started dating again. But after a few years, I did date again, and I was fortunate enough to find Candy. And we got married and started a life together, and she's put up with me for 21 years so far, even though it probably feels like more like 40 to her. But I'm not suggesting that I have been through all the types of things that others have been through. You know, I know people have been through probably harder experiences than me. I did lose a brother when I was 15. I have gone through divorce. I did lose my mom. But I know there are people here who have gone through tougher things than me. But even in my experience with other people, I've seen the same sort of thing. I remember one of the sons of one of our members in Archer City, and when I talk about our member, she lived to be 100, so her son was already an older son at the time. But as he was going through cancer for the second time, Carl Kinsey, and this time it turned out to be terminal. And yet in the midst of that, there were stories and jokes and memories and meaningful conversations between the family members, and they allowed me to be part of that. I got to meet his children. I got to meet his grandchildren. I actually got kind of, you know, some closeness with them, you know, for a very limited period of time. But I do believe that joyfulness and reasons for anxiety and reasons for thankfulness are all part of all our experiences in this world. And that sets the stage back for verse 8. He said, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if there's anything admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I don't think this means we are to completely ignore the bad stuff. There's times in life for us to weep or to mourn. But if we look around, even during difficult times and trying times, there's also a lot of good things that we can be thankful for. Amen. And we should be people who focus on those good things. And I do think, and it's kind of the title of my sermon this morning if you looked at the bulletin, I do think that what we focus on and our attitude has a whole lot to do with living a successful life. Now, to be clear here, when I'm talking about living a successful life, I'm not talking about what many in the world mean as far as successful. I don't define successful life in terms of money or wealth. I'd rather define a successful life in terms of happiness or joy or meaning our relationships, and ultimately for us as Christians, a successful life involves spirituality. I believe in the end it matters whether or not we hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But I do believe you can have somebody that's very poor who can live a joyful and a meaningful life and be a positive influence on others. And yet you'll see some people out there that are rich and they seem to have a whole lot from the world standpoint, and they can be in a bad mood all the time, they're not very happy, and they're not living what I would consider a very meaningful life. And so our attitude as we approach, as we look out at the world, as we look at what we've got and don't got, as we look at the things going on in the world, our attitude actually does make a big difference. And I think one of those attitudes is thankfulness or gratitude. It's kind of like one of the, you know, it's an older song now, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one. And it's just the focus of the song. If you, you know, when you're discouraged, when you're down, if you just start counting your blessings, you'll realize how much that we really are blessed. And I think there's something to that. So I've already talked about a little bit throughout much of history of more agricultural societies or even hunter-gatherer type societies. There was a lot of concern that just went around having food to eat. Having enough food to eat to meet our basic energy needs. They weren't thinking about steak and ice cream and chocolate chip cookies. They were just thinking about, you know, having food to eat and to survive. And not too many people here, I would suggest, not too many of us have missed a whole lot of meals. I think a lot of us, and I'm talking in general terms, I'm not talking about any particular individual, but a lot of us are pretty spoiled. You know, when we get ready for mealtime, a lot of times we think about, what do I want to eat? Whereas many cultures and many places in history and in the world, they were just happy to have something to eat. I think about Jim Corner when he was here a few weeks ago. He and I don't remember all the details, but over there in Cameroon in Africa, that, you know, they had these large bags of rice and then they had these bags of peanuts. And he said, you know, and he said, I'm being serious. That they came up to me and they wanted us to tell, you know, give thanks to our brothers, you know, our brothers and sisters in America for helping to provide for us these rice and these peanuts. And so people's, you know, so there's this great gratitude towards churches in the U.S. for helping provide these things. They were thankful for rice and peanuts. And I thought about it, what would most American families do with rice and peanuts? You know, go home and make a meal with rice and peanuts. But they were thankful for that. They were happy for that because there's some war going on. There's kind of the civil war going on there. And they were happy to have food to eat. And they were happy to eat rice. And they were happy to eat peanuts. And if that's all they had to eat, they were happy with it. And we go home, and we have food in our refrigerators. We have pantries, and most of our pantries have quite a bit of food in them too. The Apostle Paul said, if we have food and clothes, to let us be content with these. And I look back, and I've never been without food and clothes. There have been a few times in my life that I've wondered how we were going to pay some of our bills, but most of the time those things worked out. But I have a closet and a chest of drawer full of clothes. Maybe not real fancy clothes, as a lot of you can probably attest to, but I have shorts and short sleeves I can wear in the summer, and I have jackets and long pants I can wear in the winter. Now, I may not always wear a jacket, but that's my own fault. I have them there if I want to. But we definitely have our basic needs, and sometimes I think we take those for granted. On Tuesday and Thursday nights, I've gotten back in the habit, kind of reminds me of a long time ago, but I go out to CTC to play tennis. And there's a group of older men that go out and play tennis, a few women. We don't discriminate, but it's mostly men. But some are more successful than others, you know, some in terms of the world, and some have better health than others. But I was kind of thinking about this week, and I really think that the biggest factor in determining joy out there is people's attitudes. I mean, how joyful they are now, how they're playing may factor in too, but besides from that, it doesn't matter what kind of car they drive up in. It doesn't. So this one younger person brings out this big bag with lots of rackets, but me and this other older gentleman beat him and who he was playing with, and I've only got one or two rackets, but that's beside the point. But anyway, it just, you know, it's, people can have, you know, there's people out there that have, you know, deal with knee issues and things like that, but they're happy to be out there moving around the best they can and trying the best they can, and they have a positive attitude and a positive experience. I just think how we feel about our life, really a lot of it does come back to our attitudes and what we focus on. I guess my overall point this morning that I really want to close with is I do believe that if we really think about it, we have a lot to be thankful about. Not only do we have food and clothes, most of us have some sort of houses or apartments to live in. And most of us even have air conditioning and some sort of heat in the winter. We have blankets to keep us warm at night if the house isn't already warm. We have furniture to sit on, and we have TVs to watch and phones to communicate with others. Most of us have friends or family members that love us. Maybe they get on our nerves sometimes, but we probably get on their nerves sometimes too. Most of us have had parents or grandparents or someone who loved us when we were growing up. Most of us have had someone along the way, a good Christian example that we looked up to. People who have influenced our lives for the better. And we live in a world made by God, that the sun comes up every morning, where we have the sun and the moon and the stars to lighten up the sky. We have a world that produces the food we need to sustain our bodies, a world with trees and mountains and summer breezes, a world full of beautiful colors, green grass and blue skies. And if my daughter Rebecca was up here, she would say a world with animals and cats and dogs. She's very thankful for the cats and the dogs. And I have not even gotten to the spiritual blessings that God has revealed himself through prophets, that God has revealed himself to us through prophets like Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah and Isaiah. And he gave us laws and teachings for our own good. And then later on, he sent his own son into the world, Jesus, born of a woman, born of human flesh, who was the ultimate Jesus, the ultimate revelation of God. He lived a perfect life. He gathered disciples. We have the words that he said in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Many of the words he said, like the Sermon on the Mount and many of his other teachings while he was here on his earth. We also are told about his actions and his behaviors, the way he dealt with others, the his interaction with others. And not only that, but he gave his life on a cross for you and for me. Amen. And someday, he's coming back to claim his own. We have an awfully lot to be thankful for. I've shared it before, but one of my favorite quotes is from William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania Quaker. He says, "We must needs disorder ourselves if we only look at our losses. But if we consider how little we deserve what is left, our passions will cool and our murmurs will turn into thankfulness." And I think that is true. We can spend all our time focusing on the negatives and the bad things and all the troubles or heartache and things like that that we true, and we can find them. And we can find things to be angry or upset or discontent about. But I really believe that if we decide to spend more of our time focusing on the good, we can realize that we've received an awfully lot of blessings. Amen. And I think we'll have a lot better outlook in our lives and we'll be more useful to others. Amen. If there's anyone here that needs to come for any reason, we invite you to come while together we stand and we sing.